60, we're in the ninth, I'm going into the ninth year. I guess you could call it new, but you know, somebody said to me this past week, they said, David, you know, you God's given you a platform. You're able to preach the word and to evangelize and to do some teaching. Isn't that great? I mean, aren't you like really just excited about that and you know, jumping up and down? I mean, just you got to know. I mean, what God is it? And I got to thinking about it, and I called my friend back. We were having coffee. I said, you know, I thought about what you said, and no, I'm not jumping up and down. He said, why? I said, I am burdened. He goes, what? I said, yeah, I'm burdened. Because you see, when you evangelize, when you preach, when God's given you an assignment, he has given you a responsibility. And we as pastors, preachers, whatever you want to call me, we are going to be set aside different rules. We will be judged accordingly to what God's given us. And that's why I there's times I do want to hold back, and I do, because, you know, I have two ears and one mouth, so I've got to listen twice as much as I talk. But most of the time, I got to talk about things that the church isn't talking about. And the question is, this evening, and I'm going to bring in my guest. I am excited to have my guest on, because he started with me on the show many, many years ago, and he's a great warrior for God. But I want to ask you guys this question. I want to ask you this question. How do you tell if your pastor is a wolf in sheep's clothing? Look at that. Half wolf, half man. How do you know? And then if he is, what are you going to do about it? What are the signs? So tonight, we're going to be talking about an array of things. I don't have a specific agenda. We're going to be talking about the rapture, post-trib, pre-trib, coming civil war. Look at what Jesus meant when he said, greater things you'll do. And what about hell? We're going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about any more of what we're going to talk about, because I want to surprise my guest, because I always love to have him on. He's always got all the perfect answers. Pastor Mike Spaulding, how are you there, Santa?
Brother, I'm doing well, and it's always a blessing to join you. I get a lot of pleasure out of these questions.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to throw you an easy one. This is so easy that easy peasy. So my son says, if a person that you know, or anyone knows, and you know, they are not saved, you know, they're not saved. I mean, maybe they say they're not saved. Do you need, and I say you, I'm talking about all of us. Do we need to tell them, should we tell them they are going to hell? That's an easy question.
It is an easy question, although some people would stumble over it because they've been caught up in the theology of niceness and of appeasement and compromise. So judgment is part of the gospel. Yeah. People have to understand the gospel includes that those who reject Christ, who reject God's way of salvation to everlasting life, if you reject that, the only thing that awaits you is judgment. And that's not fear tactics. That's not being rude. It's simply what the Bible teaches. And the fact that so many people who share the gospel leave that out tells me that the church is not doing its job in educating people about what the gospel is.
Well, that's true, but you got these seeker-friendly churches. You know, that's a term they came up with, I guess, in the 80s. I don't know. But to get to know the person, develop that relationship. Meanwhile, they go out and have a car wreck and they die and it's over. What good is that going to do you? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a way to convey that there's an eternal choice of where you're going to spend eternity without telling somebody, look, you're going to hell. Because if you point your finger and you start preaching hellfire and brimstone, they get you know, freaked out. But if you convey to them there is an eternal consequence, then that there's nothing wrong with that, right, Pastor Mike? Even if you don't know them that well, and you need to convey to them, it's time is of the essence.
Yeah, yeah. The fire and brimstone preaching that was part of our nation's history. I don't want to characterize it as being out of vogue. It's just we're in a different day.
Yeah.
And people receive information in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're sharing the gospel and the aspect of judgment that follows for all of those who reject Jesus, it doesn't need to be screamed. It doesn't need to be, you know, presented in such a way that it just completely turns people off. Because remember, we're trying to persuade people. We're trying to draw them to the goodness of God through the gospel presentation. And so it shouldn't be done in a manner that just turns people off.
Yeah, you know, I said as we went into the interview, I said that I carry a burden because I have a responsibility as a pastor. Or as a, I call you a pastor. I'm not sure what I call me. An evangelist, let's say, but a messenger, a deliverer. Do you agree with me? And do you have that burden also? When I say burden, I mean the consciousness of that responsibility, that if we don't stand up, you and I, and tell the truth, we're held accountable on a different level than most people, yes or no?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that, in fact, that teachers are serving under a higher calling. They will be responsible for the words that come out of their mouth. And I would add to that, that they're responsible for the omission of things that they will not say when the Spirit prompts you to say them. And yeah. I think part of that, David, is because too many people are too concerned about being liked or accepted in by people instead of accepted by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that really needs to be our compass point, right? Our true north is to be pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah, you know, I put up the poster just a minute ago about how can you tell if your pastor is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, I want to kind of elaborate on this because a lot of people get the misconception that, well, they're trying to steal my money, or they're lying, or they're running around with the church secretary. Well, that may all be true. And yes, that would be, but it comes in a different package. This is a preacher that might not run around with the secretary, may not steal money, but yet they will not tell the truth. They kiss up to the congregation instead of kissing up to the truth of God. This to me, you don't have to agree, but I want to see what you think, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. They come presenting themselves as a messenger of truth, but they don't give it.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned this before and spoken on this subject many, many times. Part of the model for doing church today is to have a pastor who is paid a salary, who has medical benefits for his family, who sometimes is given a housing allowance or a parsonage. And when you add all of those things up and you have some very strong-willed congregants that have made their viewpoint known that certain issues are off the table, such as their children who have decided they're not going to live as the biological sex they were born with, all of a sudden you can't teach on that, or you can't preach on that, or whatever.
Right.
And pastors will toe the line on that, because if they don't, they're going to lose, they won't be able to support their family.
Yeah.
So that's what Henry Blackaby said in his book, Experiencing God. I've never forgotten this. It's been 35 years ago, probably now, since I've read that book, but he said, That is a crisis of faith. That's a crisis of faith moment. Mm-hmm. Are you going to trust God to take care of you and your family, or are you going to bow to the desires of men?
Yeah. Right. And it's not just in the, it's not Protestant. It's also, well, look, I got one here. Here's the Catholic. You know, nobody exempt. How do you tell your pastor? He's a Catholic. And this right here, pastor, I've got a Six Flags Over Jesus guy. I call him Brain Dead Daddy. That goes into these Six Flags Over Jesus churches. You know, they're all, it's all over the place. It's not just one, you know, segment, but I want to go to Ezekiel 37, 8 and 9. Ezekiel 37, 8 and 9. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but why no one is exempt. And I believe that this evening there's pastor out there listening, that what we're saying, God's going to use our words to touch his heart and stand up and start telling the truth instead of pussyfooting around in the pulpit. I call them pussycats in the pulpit. But I want to bring up this scripture in Ezekiel. If you've got it there in front of you, pastor, you can read it. If not, I'll read it right off the screen. It depends on if you have it or not.
Is that Ezekiel 30?
30. It's Ezekiel 37, 8, and 9.
Oh, 8 and 9. Yep. So Ezekiel 37, 8, and 9. And I looked and behold, now you use King James, I use New American Standard. Sure. And I looked and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life.
So what I've had a lot of people ask me about that scripture. What is it that exactly they're trying to say?
Well, this is part and parcel of the vision that Ezekiel received, the vision of the valley of the dry bones. And so this was prophecy concerning his very own people, that there would come a day when God would revitalize his people. He would put flesh and right on the bones, and they would come alive again. So prophecy people will say, well, this was this or this was that. Currently, the most popular interpretation of this is that this was May the 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation again. It was reborn in a day. Mm. There are others who say that this has a future prophetic fulfillment, but it all points to Israel is the point. It all points to God's chosen people.
Right. But could it be that it could also mean that God's going to give us information, download, bring us to a new level of understanding of, and I don't want to say revelation, only revealed in our mind, not the book of Revelation, writing more of it. That's not what I'm saying. But to do that, it's going to take warriors of the faith to tell the truth. I want to read this. O son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at your mouth and warn them. And I'm paraphrasing here. Say to the wicked, a wicked man, you'll surely die. Okay. What this is saying, pastor, is that you don't warn them. Their blood is on your hands. If you do, then you're set free. So is it true in these last days that you and I, that preachers are held accountable for telling the truth, warning, wake up, watch, and warn about what's happening, that if we don't, and a preacher's out there listening, they're in the pulpit, they're going to preach this Sunday morning the same old sermon that they preached 1,000 times, or some feel good or some meaningless, whatever, they're not doing a deep dive what the Holy Spirit saw them do, that people's blood is on their hands.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. It's always been that way, David. But it's more pronounced now in our own day, because the enemy has infiltrated with so many different schemes. It's almost like a box of chocolates. You get to pick your favorite, but that favorite is deception. First, self-deception, thinking that you're serving and pleasing God. But then when you become deceived, all you have is deception for those that are still under your teaching or ministry. And it's sad, and it's almost like a designer box of chocolates, because there's so many different schemes and methodologies that have been manifested today. It's mm-hmm. almost like this is for this group, this is for this group, this is for this group. But there's one thing that all those groups have in common, David, and that is that they have abandoned the Word of God. Abandoning the Word of God means that you have silenced the Holy Spirit. You're no longer able to receive from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, if he's active in a teacher's life,
yeah,
not going to allow them to go off course into deception and then deceive others. So the Holy Spirit has been silenced in that person's life, and the result is a train wreck for a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, and here's what they'll blame it on. Let's look at this video with me and Lisa Haven. I want to ask you about this.
What's the biggest threat to Christians today?
It's the threat to our free speech right now.
Okay.
Because step one to control a culture is to silence your opposition. That's one of the major steps. And if we can be silenced, if they can tell the church not to support Christians, not to speak against bills, if they can then take the internet over, they've already got major chunks of Hollywood. If they can then take over platforms like mine and say, you're not allowed to talk about immigration, you're not allowed to talk this.
So they actually are coming against you. They don't want you around. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. And that's for all Christians, you see, because if we lose speech, we lose the ability to speak about Christ on a scale like the internet.
Okay. But before I get your comment, I want to say a couple of things. Now, you can talk about the Jesus that Hollywood has created, this candy-coated Jesus, Jesus who accepts and loves everyone unconditionally, doesn't matter what. You can talk about that Jesus all you want, but if you get into some hard, hard topics like we've just touched on tonight, that's a different animal. That is a different animal. But here's the thing, Pastor, what people don't understand is that a lot of this rhetoric of saying you're censored, I'm talking about preachers now in the pulpit. Let's divide it. I got me, my platform. Lisa's got hers. You've got a platform. Yes, there's censorship there. We got, because I've been censored saying some pretty hard things against religion, believe it or not. I won't go into it. But now we've got the pulpit where you've got the preacher in the pulpit. A lot of these preachers, they've been brainwashed thinking they can't talk about hard subjects and the things as close to their heart because they're 501c3 or their, you know, religious rights will be taken away. To me, that's hogwash for the most part. They don't have a lot of power on that. What do you say?
Yeah, well, so I'll start with what you ended with. If you're 501c3, come out of that and use your mouth again and speak the truth.
Right.
You don't need 501c3.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So what's happening is in censorship of Christianity, we're still the demographic, true, authentic Christians are still the one demographic that's not afraid to speak the truth, that, as the saying goes, to power. We're not afraid to say things that are going to upset people that believe they have power. One way they're doing that today, and this goes to Lisa's point, David, is that they're changing the definitions of words. And people need to understand that is always, always, always one of the first things that people who lust for power, for control, for domination will do, is they'll change the definition of words and then force you to use their new definition. So they're changing reality. They're attempting to change reality. This is a communist tactic and has been for years. It's what George Orwell talked about in 1984 and has been for years. This is Satan's strategy. If he can get you to kowtow to what you know to be false, then he's got you captured. And I don't know if I can say this, and I hope I can, and it doesn't get you thrown off the platform.
Why don't you whisper it to me, and I'll tell you, or you can give me a little. As long as it's not election or virus or anything like that.
No. Well, it's just a plain truth of reality. Trust the science. Men can't have babies. But they want to convince you that they can because they want to change the reality. Well, Satan's behind all of it.
Yeah.
Some people laugh at this. I do in a sense because it's ludicrous. But there are people that are absolutely convinced, David, that this can happen. That is Satan's tactic to deceive and delude people. And it's working.
Yeah, it's working. You mentioned battle and war and stuff. I'm going to ask you about civil war in just a second. But before we do, I want to ask you about the tribulation, the rapture, pre-trib, post-trib. First of all, is there a rapture? Is there a rapture in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay.
There is.
Now, this is conjecture, or perhaps you've read scripture and you can base it upon scripture. Would this be post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, taken out before the tribulation, during the tribulation, or post-tribulation? Christians are talking about.
So, post-trib viewpoint is really not a rapture in my view, because post-trib goes right along with post-millennial. So Christ comes, there's no literal millennial reign of Jesus, no thousand-year reign on the earth, post-mill, post-trib, all of that. The one of the favorite viewpoints today is pre-wrath, and I discard that as well. I've told you this before, and most of your audience probably already knows this, but I subscribe to a pre-tribulational view of the rapture. And I'm also pre-millennial. So what that means is Christ returns for the ecclesia prior to the tribulation. So pre-trib, but also pre-millennial. Premillennialism says that he comes before, for his church, before the millennial reign. So that's what I subscribe to.
Well, if we talk about pre-trib, what is the tribulation? People go, I go, oh, I don't know, maybe we're in the tribulation. I feel like I'm in the tribulation. You know, what constitutes the, you flip that button and bam, there's the tribulation. What is it we need to look for that's a sure tail sign that we have now entered into tribulation?
So for a pre-tribulational rapture, we're not looking for anything. We're looking for the return of Christ for us. That's what we're looking for. Because the things that Daniel lays out. So to answer your question, what is the tribulation? It's the 70th week of Daniel. It's the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. I've written a couple of books on this. One solely on the 70th week. Where do we find that at? Well, that's Daniel chapter 9, and he talks about that. To answer your other question, what triggers or what starts the tribulation period? Well, Daniel chapter 9 tells us it's the signing of a covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. Mm-hmm. That's Daniel chapter 9. That starts the tribulation period. Now, some people say the tribulation period is 3.5 years. Some people say it's 7 years. You follow it through. I hold to the position that it is 7 years. 3.5 years after that covenant with Israel is signed, the Antichrist breaks that covenant. And the breaking of that covenant is what Jesus told his disciples would happen, the abomination of desolation, that the Antichrist would establish himself in the temple and he would demand that he be worshiped. Okay. So that breaks the covenant. That's 3.5 years in. Then it all breaks out. And again, there's a reason why the Old Testament talks about Daniel's 70th week. And they talk about it is a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob being Israel. It's focused on Israel. It's not focused on the church.
Okay, that was my next point. We've got this thing with Iran now, dropping bombs. You know, Israel's supposedly, what they're saying is they're shooting at military bases. Israel shooting at Iran military bases, establishments, but Iran's shooting at civilian targets. Okay, which sounds exactly in order with their character. Could this be the thing that triggers? Could this be the thing that triggers the tribulation? And I have a two-part question. That's the first part. And then my second part is, well, I'll ask the second after you give me the answer to this one.
Okay. So my answer, no, it isn't. And the reason for that is, unless Trump does something stupid, really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And Israel listens, Netanyahu listens to him.
Right.
The Iranian regime is done. The people want freedom, and there are riots, car bombs, things going on that the U.S. media won't report. But there's already an uprising in Iran by the citizens, and you know, David, that the U.S. is pouring money into that, into this insurrection in Iran. Mm-hmm. If this regime falls, which it looks like it could, if this regime falls, then there's no way that what we're witnessing is a precursor to that. And here's the reason. Because in Ezekiel 38, it tells us that when the nations come against, surround Jerusalem, and they're going to conquer and destroy Israel, and God comes to their rescue. That's what Ezekiel 37:39 talks about. It tells us in verse 5 of Ezekiel 38 that Persia, or Iran, is one of the nations that God draws to surround Israel as if they're going to destroy Israel. And so I ask you, and I ask those that have joined us today, is Iran in any way, shape, or form capable of being in the position now where they're going to surround Israel with several other nations and destroy the Jewish people? Absolutely not. If anything, they're fighting for their very existence.
Well, who is going to be? Because they talk about the bear, Russia. What's going to be the trigger that comes against Israel? Do you think it's going to be Russia? And if so, how far away are we for this happening, which will flip the switch on the tribulation?
Well, I wrote about this in my commentary on Revelation, David. I don't subscribe to Rosh, Gog of Magog, Rosh, Tubal, and Meshach. I do not subscribe to Rosh being Russia.
Okay.
And the reason that I don't is that you cannot etymologically, so looking at the word and following its root, its derivatives, how language evolves and develops, the etymology of Rosh, Russia wasn't even a thing then. And Rosh cannot possibly, you can't get Russia out of Rosh. That's my first point.
Okay.
And the second thing is, the Jewish people, when they would have read that, they would have understood that to be from the far north. That's where people come up with Russia, from the far north being a supernatural enemy of Jehovah.
Not a real enemy that's going to come against them. It's a supernatural enemy.
It's a supernatural, spiritual, so Antichrist. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Russia, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I want to get into the Antichrist in a moment. And when we come back, I want to ask you about America. Will America still be around? Don't answer that, because I want to do a deep dive into it. Before we do, really quick, I want to tell people about the conference. I'm excited about this conference, folks. I'll be speaking at Pastor Mike's conference. Go you there for. Pastor, we've got a lot of good speakers. Look at that. You've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now. And now we got Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Germain. I just put him on the show. My good friend Carl Gallups, Derek Gilbert, Sharon. I mean, all these people are Jeez, it'd be like a family reunion, Pastor.
It is a family reunion, David. It really is. That's what it's become for a lot of folks. And I'm pleased to say that each one of the speakers, this is not their first time at Go Therefore. We've had to, and it's worked out very well. You and I talked about this years ago, David, about reducing the number, because we used to do 22, I think, was the most we ever had, 22 speakers.
Yeah.
And we discussed years ago, we said, you know, this just isn't sustainable.
No.
It doesn't give people enough time to appreciate the presentations, enough time in between speakers to network, to talk to the speakers, to enjoy what's happening.
Right.
And so we paired 2 years ago, we took it all the way down to 10. And that's the most we're ever going to have again is 10. And that allows for a perfect mix.
Yeah.
Fellowshipping, networking, and being edified and encouraged.
And I love it because they get the information on the end times prophecy scripture. Most of it's accurate because I know the people that deliver it. I trust them. But then also, you know, I remember 2 years ago I was there and you allowed me, or God used me, to have an altar call and to preach the gospel and to let people come forth and heal. I hope that happens again, but that's a mixture of the best of both worlds. You don't have just this brainy thing going on where people go home and, you know, and I was so happy about that, that it was a completion, you know, and so I thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. That was God.
And if you all want to come, where do they go get tickets, Pastor?
So it's gothereforeconference.com. gothereforeconference.com. And there are several different options. This year I worked with our good friend Pastor Neil there at Harvest Revival Center, where it has been hosted for several years now. And we've come up with a plan that's really a blessing to those that want to support and participate in the ministry. We've reduced the live stream cost. We've offered options for live stream and in-person registrations. We've provided an opportunity for ongoing monthly support if people find value in Go Therefore conferences. So a lot of things have changed this year, but all for the better.
That's great. Nico, go ye therefore .com and sign up.
gothereforeconference.com.
Okay, great. Pastor Mike, stay with us. When we come back, I have such a deep dive. I want to get in some questions with you. Thank you so much. God bless you. We're with Pastor Mike Spaulding, good friend of mine. He started with the show many years ago. It's such a good sport, willing to deal with all my questions. And I do it kind of jokingly sometimes, but I'm very serious because I want to talk about these things. I think it's important that we do talk about these things. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking about America. Is America going to be around? What about the 2/3 of the population wiped off the face of the earth? Does that tie into the tribulation? Are we gone then? What exactly, you know, is that going to look like? So don't go away. We'll be right back.
When you donate to this ministry, I can honestly tell you that we talk about things the church won't. I do my best. I do my best to get the word out, and so does Shanita. And anything that you can give that God lays on your heart would be appreciated. It keeps us going. It keeps this show going. It keeps us traveling to pray for people, and it's just much appreciated. DavidHebner.tv/give. Consider becoming a monthly partner. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can text the word CHOSEN to 91999. I want you to go to DavidHebner.tv. We have two exclusive videos that are up. You won't see any place else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part two. Part one is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on DavidHebner.tv. Please support.
Yeah, you know, talking about these mass shootings and everything, we just had a crazy thing happen up in Minnesota that I've been following this thing, and that's somebody's lying. And I don't want to go into politics. I don't think it's politics. I think it's demonic. Even go as far as say Nephilim activity. I mean, I don't know if this guy's real, you know, but something's not right. Something's going on that is just stinks. You know, it's a high heaven. It's just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm bringing on Pastor Mike. I have some more questions for him. So, Pastor, you know, we talked about, I asked you about America, and I want to, because people wonder, and there are some, we have a lot of audience from America, but we have audience from all over the country. It's not just America. Let's just take a look at this.
And when I read scripture, I don't see America. I really don't.
It's pretty much everything the mainstream media says is a lie. And so I always opposite of what they say.
We are a time bomb right now. And it could go off any moment.
Any thoughts, comments?
Well, it depends on who you ask, David. There are folks that we both know, some that are friends. I respect their research and their point of view. We just disagree on whether America is going to be seen in the last days. And the reason I say all that, I guess I should explain, is that some people will say America is Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
In Revelation. And who is, I mean, currently, who is the financial center of the world? Well, it'd be hard to argue that it's not America.
Right.
Who is the merchant? I mean, and again, that's America.
So how do you get past that? This is what I run into, you know, and people ask me a lot. I get at least once a month. Am I going to be around? What about my grandkids and whatever? And also, if because here I interviewed Irvin Baxter, you know Irvin, and he's I did many interviews with him, but he was talking about the 2/3 of the population. I think it talks about that. Is it in Ezekiel? Is that what it is? Ezekiel?
It's in Revelation. Revelation 6, yeah. 1/4. And then when you get to chapter 9, there's another third. And
But he's talking about roughly, I'm paraphrasing, about 2/3 population.
Yes.
Now, if that's the case, then America has a 1/3 chance of hanging around. I'm doing a very rapid Johnny Thunder tour, you know, analogy here. I'm not going to say I believe it's going to be or not going to believe that. Who knows? I don't know. But the reason I'm asking you is if we do lose 2/3 of the population, and if America does go, should we look for the rapture to happen before that happens?
Boy, there's a good question right there. That's an excellent question. Well, here's what I know.
All right.
The Lord never promised any of his followers that they would be able to escape persecution.
Right.
So if persecution is coming, I think in some ways it's already here.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about physical persecution now.
Yep.
Losing your life, having your head taken.
Right.
We may see that in America if some of the folks that are in power but are being forcibly restrained, if they come back into full-blown power in America, where Christians are in for a very rocky road real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Will America survive into the tribulation? I don't know. And just as a point of fact, I don't think it matters anyway. Because, and here's why. Because the tribulation is not about America. The tribulation is about God judging wickedness and evil and setting things straight. And regardless of your view on the timing, that truth is central. God's going to take care of this wickedness and evil. Will he take care of the wickedness and evil in America before it even gets to that point? Maybe. It's possible. We certainly deserve it. I'll say
that. Yeah, we do. I want to put up this scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 11, 13, 14, 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers to be also transformed. Well, I'm going to paraphrase on this thing because I ran out of room on it. We're talking about in these last days, which I believe we're in, that there's going to be the angel of light actually come in to ministers, come into the pulpit, come into the church, and actually transform in an evil way the church. And I'm circling back around to wolves in the pulpit. Do you believe that we are now entering a season of apostasy to where they have turned their eyes away from truth, ears tickled? Are we in that time to where there is no turning back? I'm talking about not for the elect. I'm talking about in general.
I would say yes, we are, and sadly, unfortunately, but nevertheless true, trusted organizations whose founders were solidly believers and followers of Jesus are rolling over in their graves at what has become. I'll just say this, the Gospel Coalition, Christianity Today, the Southern Baptist ERLC, I mean, I could go on and on and on, David. These organizations are leading the assault on biblical Christianity. They have become a force, and the reason they've become a force, I could name names, but I'll just limit it to the organizations, and you can figure out who the heads are.
Right.
The reason that this has happened is because the same money that has bought and paid for politicians in America has now been sent to these organizations so that they begin to adopt and promote leftist, progressive, anti-American, anti-Christ values and teachings. It's not a secret. And anybody that's surprised by what I just said, they're not following what's going on with the church. That's why we're at the point that we are, where it just reeks of apostasy, David.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and that will usher in, at least to open the door for an antichrist as time unfolds. So here we are in the pulpit, the Black Robe Regiment. A pastor like yourself, like myself, anyone out there who is a minister, a pastor, evangelist, and most people, you have a ministry, you don't even know it, but you've got one. Mm-hmm. Are we part of the Black Robe Regiment to where should we take off our black robe and expose our military garb? I'm talking not just, to me, the cop-out is, oh, we don't fight flesh and blood. Oh, we this la-la land. You know, that's the biggest cop-out of pussycat Christians I've ever heard of. It's true, but they hang on to it so they don't have to deal with the physical. My question is, I think we're headed toward a civil war. I don't know how you feel, but once that happens, even now, should we position ourselves, take off our black robes and say, here I am, I'm ready to go at it, to fight for truth?
Mm-hmm. Well, so in America, that is still a possibility. And I say in America, because you try that in North Korea and they'll just shoot you dead on the street.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You try that in China, you'll just disappear.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility still in America. Here's what so this is fresh on my mind, David. I just wrote an endorsement for a mutual friend. She's releasing a book, first name Tracy. She's releasing a book, within the next month, probably. And I just wrote an endorsement for that book because she nails what I think we should be doing right now. And that is rising up to your illustration, taking off the back robe, the black robe, but rising up, standing firm and rallying those that are within our sphere of influence, rallying those, persuading them to move forward under the banner of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because listen, folks, our weapons are not this world.
Right.
They are supernatural.
Yep.
And they are capable of pulling down the strongest tower, the strongest opposition that the enemy sends against us. But we have to stay, I think, David, we have to stay in our lane where our weapons are effective. So not moving outside of that, but stay in that power and under that anointing. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will direct his army, his last day's remnant. He will direct us and he will give us victory if we'll trust him. It's going to look strange to us. We're going to think, well, how can this possibly work? Well, start figuring that out now. That'd be a good place to start. Figure that out now, because he's calling us, David. He is calling us to rise up and speak up. And we don't really care who hears us or who's upset or offended by what we have to say. Today's the day for that, don't you think?
Absolutely. Our biggest weapon is to tell the truth, is to open our mouth and proclaim the truth. That right there is our number one biggest weapon. That's what most people don't do. And that's what this whole broadcast night God laid on my heart is to get out there, wake up, watch, and warn. Hey, preacher, hey, don't let the blood be on your hands. Tell them the truth so it's on their hands. I want to, as we round the corner of ending the show here, even though we're going to go underground, I want to bring on a good friend, late great Russ Dizdar. He's got a few things he wants to say about demons, and I'd like to get you to comment on
coming
that.
Against these demons, how do we fight that?
Well, that's the basis. The cross, like in Colossians 2:15, he triumphs over the dark powers by the cross. He exposes him, triumphs, while Jesus himself, the blood of Jesus, the cross, inseparable. So it's the ground of his victory. We're told in Revelation 12, when the full force of Satan, the dragon, comes, believers overcome him by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb. We could say blood of the Lamb, but the true thing about authority is we've been given authority. It comes by oral command every time. So the first thing is, if you feel something coming or something happening, I always do this way. Lord, what is this? What's going on? So I'll pray that. And immediately I'll begin to want to come against anything. But I'll always want to know what's going on and how far, because we have the Spirit of God to give us a strategy in targeting prayer. So I'll rebuke the demonic, command it to be broken and bound, and get out of here.
Okay.
Clear the air.
Right.
So I call it clear the air until I feel the power of the Holy Spirit on me.
Wow. That thing is loaded with another show. What touches you on what he said? Any comments?
But by the power of the cross, David, by the power of the cross, that's... you know, and Paul addressed this in a couple of his letters to the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks or the Gentiles, foolishness. And what he meant by that was, and this could apply to anybody, but it was a stumbling block to the Jews because they didn't understand how their Messiah would suffer and die. That wasn't on their radar screen. Yeah. To the Greeks or the Gentiles, foolishness, because it's like, well, gods can't die. What's the matter with you? That's so stupid. And Paul is saying, no, you've missed the whole point. The power is in the cross, in the resurrection power. And by the way, we're told in the scriptures that's the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us in the here and the now.
Right now. Exactly. And that's, you know, I want to read Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. First, they overcame him who, by what? By the blood of the Lamb and what? And the word of their testimony, not just the blood of the Lamb, but the word of their testimony. Yeah. And they were willing to go and die for it. Can you break that down to me? They overcame him who, and the blood
of the Lamb. So they overcame the devil. yep. by the shed blood. And you're not just appealing to, you have received the shed blood. The shed blood has cleansed you of your sin. You've received right. the mercy of God by being washed in the blood. That's why the scripture says in the Old Testament, Isaiah, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin.
Right.
That has right. that has New Testament applications all over it. So mm-hmm. when we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, then we walk. Remember, when we profess faith, then the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. So yeah. from that moment forward, we're moving forward and in victory because of the Spirit in us. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit power. And so that's the devil.
What is the word of their testimony, Dr. Spaulding? The word of their testimony. I know the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony.
So the profession of faith, a true profession of faith, when the chips are down, when your life's on the line,
yep.
when it's in your face,
yep.
you're not going to blink.
Nope.
You're not going to flinch. You're going to say, Jesus is Lord. And you're exactly. going to look him in the eye and you're going to have victory in that moment. Now, yeah. and this answers the question, how can people, we've all seen the videos, David, how can believers who are being martyred by the enemies of the cross,
right?
How can they face that with courage? Because of their testimony.
Yeah, because of their this is it right here, Revelation 12, 11. A lot of people think this is at the end times. This is going to be what? No, it's happening now.
It's happening right now.
Do you think we're going to be, when I say yes, in the Western world, we're going to succumb to this? There's going to be some of us that's going to be on our knees, and we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and we're not going to love our lives unto death. Do you think it's capable of that happening today?
It's already happened, right? So as soon as you said that, I'm thinking of Columbine.
Yeah.
You remember that student that went around shooting other students? The question that he asked is, are you a Christian? And the ones that he murdered, actually martyred, they said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Right.
I belong to Jesus. Pow.
Right.
It's already happening. And,
right.
And it continues to happen. It's just that this corrupt press, you don't hear half of what's going on. We already know that.
Well, between them and the wolves in the pulpit, meaning people, preachers that won't tell the truth, no wonder we are where we are. It's only by the grace and miracle of God that we are where we are, because, you know, the church now, the apostate church, they're hiding it. The media, mainstream media, they hide it. They pervert it. It's only the miracle of, I'm going to say, the vibration, the reception, the transmission of the Holy Spirit supernaturally into us, where we get this stuff, because otherwise it wouldn't be. Pastor, you've got a book out. If you could hold it up and just tell us where we can. This thing's as big as my car. I'm not sure I get it in the whole frame there.
Let me say one word to what you just said, David.
Okay.
Because right. so that's why David Hebner TV, David Hebner Live, your platforms, other people's that's why it's so important, because you're not getting the truth anywhere else. You're going right. to get it from tried, true, and tested warriors. They've stood the test of time. They've been consistent in their faith and their love for Christ and speaking the truth. That's why these platforms are important. And let me Thank just say you. This. Thank Continue you. To support David and Shanita and their work with Last Evangelist. It's so very important. But thank you for mentioning this. So my latest book, David, The Prison Epistles of Paul, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. That is a picture on the cover of the Apostle Paul, a rendering of the Apostle Paul and a young man named Tacitus who carried these letters to their recipients. So that's what that's all about.
Awesome. How do they get that book and all the other books that you have out there, Pastor Mike?
Amazon's the best place to go, especially if you've got Prime. But if you'd like a signed copy, contact me. I'd be happy to send that to you. And you can contact me on the website, drmikespalding.com. There's a contact there. Send me a note. I'd be happy to do that. Or if you just want to email me, you can do that too. drmichaelspalding@gmail.com.
Okay. And if you can hang with us for just a little bit as we go underground, people can get that information and ask you some other questions. You have a little bit of time. You can stay with us for underground.
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Mike. God bless you. Sure. And I can't wait to see you in Brookville.
And I you, brother.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. And I'll send you a link out in about 5 minutes. God bless you. Thank you. All right, you guys. I love you all. Appreciate it. I didn't get through half my questions with Pastor Mike. Yeah, I was nice this time. But boy, I tell you what, I want to have him on again. And I've got a bunch more questions. And you have a lot of questions in chat. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of them. But I just want to tell you guys, you have an assignment. God's given you an assignment. He's given you a ministry. Do not wake up tomorrow and succumb to the enemy's pressure and their brainwashing of telling you that you are not good enough, you can't do that, or put fear in you, because God has your back. God gave you the commission. He gave you the vision. He will give you the provision. He will take care of you. So you just need to remember that, okay? It's important. Don't forget to go to lastevangelist.com and donate so we can fund the marketing of episode 3. Man, this thing, episode 3 is amazing. It's on artificial intelligence, mind control, and who's behind it. The new transformational Bible, which is the government Bible. They've rewritten it. Okay, you can watch episode 1 on David Hebner TV, Legalize Jesus. Episode 2 is about the vaccine. And like I said, you can get episode 3 that's coming out next month. So go to davidhebner.tv. You can get all kinds of, we've got over 1,000 shows there. Pastor Mike's on there with the Bible and Prayer Channel. And we've just got so many things here for the people. Please go sign up, and then you can go with us on Underground, okay? And if you've got a car or land you want to donate, it would help this ministry, 855-500-RIDE or 844-277-HOME. And if you'd like to support the ministry, like Pastor Mike was so kind to say, is you can go to davidhebner.tv/give or text the word CHOSEN to 91999. Don't forget your vaccine T-shirt, and don't forget... if you do sign up, go underground with us, send a one-time email, admin@davidhebner.tv. We'll send you a link back, okay? I love you guys. I appreciate you all. And just remember, you never really live till you found someone that you're willing to die for, like Jesus died for us. God's calling you to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and don't love your life to death. All right. See you in Underground. If you can't make it, I'll see you Sunday morning, 11 a.m., right on here on David Hebner TV. God bless you. I just want to thank you for watching my shows. My new show, episode 2 of Last Evangelist, is out. It's about the
jab, the deadly jab,
the truth of it. And if you'd like to see it, you can go to davidhebner.tv and watch it. It talks about the Mark of the Beast, the new AI Bible, this new Jesus they've created. I want you to go and sign up right now, davidhebner.tv, or call 844-806-0006. Episode 2 depicts of the world of which the vaccine operates, the deception behind it, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the very near future. You know, we're in the middle of filming episode 3 of Last Evangelist. And if you haven't seen episode 1 and 2, you got to watch it. Episode 3 deals with mind control, AI, and folks, it's coming. And I'm asking if you'll get involved in donating to episode 3. Just go to lastevangelist.com, and you can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can get hats, t-shirts, whatever but it will help us. God said, go to my people, don't go to studios. And I'm not. I'm going to God's people, coming to you. So please help us with this to get the word out to expose the Antichrist. Go to lastevangelist.com. If you would like to help out the ministry, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give. I love you guys. God bless.